Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting pfgwm.com, or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com, or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
Good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. However you're listening to us today on this Saturday, thanks for making us a part of your day. Thanks for supporting the show. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP. With me in studio today is Joe Kennedy of the Windermere Realty Trust. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Bo. Thanks a ton for having me on this morning. This is great.
No problem. We're excited to have you here. Let the listeners know Chuck has this week off. His granddaughter is getting married this weekend, so that's very exciting.
Oh, super cool.
Right? And Kevin Stege's normally here, but he's finishing up the last of the tax issues that he had. He is a CPA, and so tax season just finished up, so he'll be back
next week.
So, Joe, this is your first time on the show. Chuck and I normally like to start out the show by giving a market update for our listeners out there. We talk about where the market's gone so far this year. And right now, year to date, the Dow Jones is up 13.86%. The S&P 500 is up 15.96%. And the NASDAQ is on a tear. It's up 20.5% so far this year. And that's compared to a 9.8% growth rate last year at this time in 2017. So what that says to me, and what Chuck and I have talked about a lot, is that you know there's no better return long term than being invested in the market. But what we see happening is I see a lot more volatility in the future. We're at all-time highs again, or technically we're about 1%, about 0.88% off the all-time high that we set last year. We've already bounced back from this terrible December. So the biggest thing is, if you're not in the market, then you're missing out. At least some of your portfolio needs to be invested in market investments, and not all of it, not more than you can handle, but at least some, in order to have a sustainable retirement. Chuck and I talk about this all the time. Our biggest goal is to make sure folks don't run out of money. Not that they get rich necessarily, but make sure that they don't outlive their money. And the best way that you can do that is have some sort of a market investment mix in your portfolio so that you can benefit from these gains in the market. The biggest key is, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, make sure that it's allocated properly for your risk tolerance, because it's about holding on to that particular investment through the ups and downs. Having a conflict-free portfolio is something that I preach a lot, because if you cannot stand the ups and downs, then you're not going to make it through the market cycles. And we know that one out of every 4 years, at least on average, we have a down year. And if you aren't able to hold on, you end up selling at the bottom and buying at the top, which is a really, really poor thing to do. Now, the other thing that I want to mention, though, is I've had lots of folks ask me, and Joe, you've probably heard this this phrase a lot, as people are trying to time the market. They think, hey, I'm going to get out at a good time or in at a good time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the best time to buy? What's the best time to sell? And the truth is, the best time is always in the present and not in the future.
Right. Absolutely. Because I imagine that works with the housing market as well. If you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to try and time this investment, whether it's with buying a house or whether it's with buying a specific stock or a specific market investment, you're going to be wrong at least, you know, half the time, right? At least a lot of the time.
Absolutely. In December, you mentioned it wasn't a great December, and interest rates are going to rise. I was hearing all last year that, recession 2019, and interest rates are going to rise 3 times in 2018, 4 times in 2019, and we're going to be at 6.5%. Well, that's just not true. And in fact, the feds did not raise the rates. And since December, rates have actually lowered from around 4.5 to 4.25 right now. So this is a great time to buy. You wouldn't have thought that in December, though.
Right. You would have thought that things were going in a bad direction, particularly, you know, with the market investments. We had a lot of clients who you know, were worried, hey, we're having a downturn. And the biggest key, and listeners have heard Chuck and I talk about this, with our market investments, the parts of our portfolio that are exposed to that market volatility, we utilize third-party money managers, folks who are possibly not good at, you know, interacting with people. They're not great to come on the radio show because maybe they're not, you know, great at public speaking. But what they are great at is watching trends, analyzing the market, and keeping track of what's going on for our clients. And in that case, for us, our portfolios were down significantly less than the overall market and have already bounced up. But the biggest key is, and I want, that brings up a point that I want to make sure to cover, because this conversation I had multiple times with clients this weekend, with a couple of prospective clients, some folks who came in to kick the tires on our firm and see if we might be a fit for them, is when you're comparing your portfolio, your investment portfolio, to the overall market, the key is having the proper comparison, to do an apples to apples comparison. When people are comparing their portfolio to those indexes that I brought up, to the S&P, to the NASDAQ, if they're looking at their diversified portfolio and saying, hey, well, Bo, my portfolio with you is only up, it's only up 12% so far this year, and the market is up 20. NASDAQ's up 20. But the big difference is we're not invested in the NASDAQ. We're invested in a diversified portfolio that may only have 65% of its investments here in the U.S. It may have 30 international, it may have 10 percent, that math isn't that, it's 105%, may have 5% in, you know, in fixed income investments or in cash to help weather that storm. And additionally, they're moving with the trends. We have, you know, we have money managers that are partially what's called a tactical manager, in which case that they're trying to limit the downside, to protect the downside for our clients. So obviously they're not going to be all in all the time in the S&P 500, because if they were in 2008, they would have been down, you know, 52% peak to trough.
Sounds like diversification there is the key.
Right.
And long run, being patient.
Both of those things. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is diversification, having a long-term focus, and making sure that you're allocated properly to your risk tolerance. You know, I'll use this analogy, and you may have heard this before, but when you go to Disneyland, are you a roller coaster guy?
Oh, I love roller coasters.
So you like the Matterhorn, you like the super fast loop-de-loops.
Oh, yeah, last time we were at Disneyland, though, of course, the Matterhorn was shut down.
I feel like it's shut down all the time.
But we rode, you know, all the other rides.
All the other rides.
Super
fun. All the good ones.
Kids had a blast.
Well, that's always good. So, but my thing is, you know, if you're analogizing the market or your portfolio to a roller coaster, if you can't handle the Matterhorn, maybe you're a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride kind of person.
There we go. There we go.
And still fun.
Especially if it's just a 30-minute wait or something like that.
Right. But so if you're looking at it from an investment portfolio style, you want higher lows, a higher floor, and you're going to get lower highs. You're not going to get as high up, but you're not going to have as much volatility. You're not going to have as many ups and downs. And part of that diversification, Joe, can be investing in real estate, and I'm sure you have clients that are real estate investors in terms of buying investments over time. But one of the big misconceptions that people have is that real estate is just goes up all the time, and it goes up and up and up.
Of course. In fact, I looked up a stat, and in the last, so this would make you just jump on the real estate train right now. Since 10 years ago, the Portland real estate market, it's appreciated at an average of 40% over that 10-year, that whole 10.
So 40% total?
40% total.
Wow.
Yeah, that's considerable. So 10 years ago, if you knew I could make 40% gains on my house, I think you would be going for that.
Sure.
And the fact is, it's probably going to be similar, because 10 years ago, I think that's 2009, we are at a recession. So Yeah, real estate's a great place to invest in. Now, last year, for the first time in several years since 2013, we didn't have double-digit appreciation. So 2013, 2014, 2015, the local markets, they were appreciating at 10%, 11%.
Wow.
Yeah, whereas we did see last year in most of the local markets only appreciating 5% or less, but still, you're still gaining 5%, 4%. That's still considerable equity you're building.
Absolutely, and that makes a lot of sense to me as an investment, or just even as a place to be working on building your wealth, even if it's your primary residence, not necessarily an investment, because not all folks have enough money to be buying extra properties and real estate investments. But you know, I had clients that they have several rental properties that's basically where they're making most of their income right now. And your experience, has it been better? I've always mentioned to people with rental properties that it makes sense to hire a professional manager for those rental properties, because generally you're going to get about the same rent, maybe a little bit less than you could have before, but they handle all the background checks and the credit checks and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, if you're doing more than just a couple, you definitely want to have a property management team. But, you know, I work with a lot of realtors, and realtors are famous for investing in rental income homes. And, you know, a lot of these realtors are, you know, having one or two, maybe three rental properties, and I talked to them, and they're doing it on their own.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have heard that one of the good reasons to come to Portland, or one thing about the stable housing market, is it's a great place to invest, because the average rental income is $2,000.
Wow, that seems pretty high.
Yeah. So it's a good place to invest and have a rental property.
Well, that's if you can. So if you're talking $2,000, and what I've heard with Portland for $2,000 in rent is not that big of a house in terms of if talking about investment side, is we need to be able to spend enough money to get a two bedroom, two bathroom house that's, you know, over in Irvington area or somewhere in Northeast. You can go over and find something. I don't think you could even find something that cheap if we're talking in Selwood or Lake Oswego, or, you know, one of the higher end places. You basically would gain a lot more rent, I would think.
Of course. But there's obviously a smaller pool of renters in that market, in the higher end. So,
well, that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. So if that's something you're thinking about, renting, buying investment properties, Chuck and I always talk about real property is a really good diversifier for your portfolio. It's a good ballast for your boat, because it is, if it's having stable growth, like Joe said, if you have it as a real estate investment, an investment in income producing, it's like having a bond, it's like having a CD, it's like having a savings account that pays you interest, except that it's paying you rental income over time. And the big thing with the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, if you are established properly and working with a CPA to get your rental set up properly, so you're materially participating in them, so that's materially participating in them, you can get that Section 199A deduction, which gives you 20% off that rental income in terms of a deduction. So if you made $100,000 in rental income, you only have to pay taxes on $80,000. That's huge. That's a huge benefit to be able to access, but I would recommend speaking with a CPA. Give Kevin Stege a call. He's our in-house CPA here, but give your CPA a call and make sure that you're properly set up. So we're going to take a real quick break here, Joe, and then we'll be back. We're going to ask Joe a little bit more about his practice, specifically the trends that he's seeing in the market up here. And I'd like to make sure that we let people know how to get a hold of you if they're thinking about buying or selling a house, or know someone who is.
That sounds great. Thanks, Bill Caldwell.
You betcha.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security. Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary. And without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP. In studio with me today is Joe Kennedy with the Windermere Realty Trust. Chuck and Kevin are off this weekend, but they will be back next weekend. However you're listening, thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for listening. If you have a question, we're going to be talking to Joe a little bit about housing specifically, what trends we're seeing both in the interest rate market and in you know, just houses in general. But if you have a question for Joe, please give us a call, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Also, feel free, if you have a question about your taxes, your investing, your portfolio, your planning, your estate planning, any of that, any of those questions, just like normal, there is no stupid question when it comes to your money, when it comes to your life. So give us a call, 503-417-9595. So Joe, we were talking in the break a little bit about where we see the market going as a stable market in Portland. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you see as a trend coming up here in the
market? It's actually a really stable market right now. In fact, it might even be more stable than in the past because of, it was such a seller's market that we had, and we were seeing things appreciate in double digits, like I mentioned, from 2013 to 2018. And then all of a sudden, there was some slowdown, some softness going on in May. And all of a sudden, why is my house selling just flying off the market? So things have definitely slowed a bit down starting about last May or last summer. With that said, though, it's very stable. I saw a very large pickup in January and February. I really do think it was interest rate driven. When buyers were hearing in December and hearing in November, interest rates are going to be going up in 2019. This is the time to buy. That's what their realtors were saying. That's what they were hearing when they were triangulating the data. So in January and February, we really did see a major pickup.
And that's not normal, right? Normally, the big time selling period, I always understood it's like May to
very
September.
Very seasonal in our market. Definitely April, May. We're getting right into the busy season. April, May, and June, that's the sweet spot. But, January can see a bit of a pickup because people are thinking, oh, what am I going to do this year? What's my New Year's resolution? Buy a house.
Sure.
Yeah. So we did see a pickup and... let's see, I did like five or six transactions just in January and February. And I will say the pickup in the market was really in the lower end, more affordable, sure, lower price points. And that makes sense because you're hearing a message, I need to buy now. These right. interest rates are low. I need to buy now. So that's where we were seeing a lot of the business happening. And inventory went down as well in real estate inventory. Is measured, it's basically a rate. It's the number of, if you take a single month and take the active listings, let's say there's 4,000 sure. active listings, and then divide by the number of closed sales for that month, let's say there's 2,000. So you have 4,000 divided by 2,000, that's a 2.0 inventory. So okay. In theory, at that rate, it would take 2 months to sell.
Okay. So that was going to be my question is, if I'm thinking, so we've got a listener who's thinking, hey, that sounds good. It's a, you know, it's a good market, stable. If I'm thinking about selling my house and either trying to, we spent some time last week talking about as folks age, as they get towards retirement, the idea of downsizing, the opportunity to downsize, to cash out some of that equity in their house. If they're thinking about selling right now, and obviously we're not going to hold you to it. If I ask you, how long is it going to take to sell my house? And you say 2 months and it takes me four. I'm not coming after you.
Sorry about that, Bill.
Well, I might.
I'm not perfect.
Get out.
But now, I could feed you lots of data and statistics, I'll tell you that.
So right now, what are you guys expecting? So what are you thinking if someone were to list their house? Let's say we've gotten all their I's are dotted, their T's are crossed, we're priced appropriately. What's the?
So what I was saying is inventory has gone down actually because of all those sales this year. So it's actually 2.2 for the whole market.
Okay.
But so it's going to take on average about 2 months for a home to sell.
Okay.
But we're kind of in this, like, I've heard dual market. I almost want to call it a trifecta market. Properties, single family residential homes, townhomes, condos under 600,000. Those are affordable, and that's the market where they're going to really, there's a bigger buyer pool, and they're going to sell quicker, okay? Then that second tier, 600,000 to 800,000, 900,000, you know, those move-up homes, those are the homes that are taking, they're taking more like 4 to 5 months to sell, or the inventory is 4 to 5 months. I mean,
sure.
Depending on the condition of your home and the price you're putting it at and the location, which you can't change the location,
right.
That's going to also dictate how quick your home sells. But then the final one, when you're in the high-end luxury market, those are tough to sell. And right now, they're tougher. And you are seeing inventory in, you know, eights, nines. It's even been in double digits.
Wow.
In areas like Lake Oswego and Westland, where we have a lot of that inventory, or the West Hills.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes it harder to sell those houses. You find that in your experience, maybe talking to realtors who have those listings, any listings that you've had in that market, are they having to compromise on maybe comparable price? Like, let's say they're looking, and if you price it out, we're thinking this house is worth 1.2, but maybe they have to sell it for 1.1.
This is my belief. I mentioned appreciation in double digits mm-hmm. year after year since 2013. Then we get to 2018, 2019, and you're still trying to price your home like it's double digit appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, you price your $1 million home, and the next year on 10% appreciation. So it's 1.1 million. And then half a year goes by in 2019, and now you're trying to do it at 1.15 million. Well, that's a big price difference than a million, which you could have sold it at for a year and a half ago. So,
sure.
So the price is going to be the biggest dictator there if you're going to be able to sell in a timely manner in the depending on how motivated you are.
Sure.
In this market, if you're in those upper echelon homes, but still, like I said, the average price home is 432, I believe. It's in the lower mid 400s, and
sure.
Anything under 600,000 is gonna go quickly because it's affordable.
Right, that makes sense. And are you still? I remember a couple years ago. So in 2013, my wife and I sold. That was our first house, and we turned around and sold it. We sold it, you know, over the weekend. We listed it on Friday
yeah.
and had 12 offers by Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what is that? Is it? But I remember when we were looking to then, because then the flip side of that, right, is, hey, we sold it. Quick. Great. Now where do I live?
Well, that's a good thing with the market right now. It's closer to 6 months inventory. It's closer to equilibrium. So it presents more of a fair market. So it's not a bad time to sell. It's not a bad time to sell right now. And there's hungry buyers out there. And then when you sell, guess what? You're turning around, and it's not a bad time to buy. It's really an equal fair market. It's no longer the 12 offers, seller's market, and write a whole sob story about why you should get the house other than the, you know, over the other 11 people.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. No worries. No worries.
So one thing I wanted to mention, too, are the two cohorts of buyers.
Yeah.
That the two largest generations of buyers are out there right now, and those being the millennials and the baby boomers.
Sure.
And the millennials represent the largest cohort of people ever in the United States history. That just sheer numbers. And
yeah.
The last few years is, the question is, when are those millennials going to buy? When are they going to get off their parents' couch and go,
right,
you know,
right.
They have jobs. But, you know, there's some factors there. If people are getting married later, and being married is one of the biggest indicators that you're ready to purchase a home because you have dual income.
Sure.
So when are these millennials going to buy? And they're starting to buy, and the interest rates are telling them buy now.
Sure.
And then the other large cohort, the second biggest cohort, are baby boomers, like you mentioned, looking to downsize. So this is a good time for them as well to get basically top dollar for their house and be able to turn around and buy something
affordable
at a fair market.
Right, not have to settle on when you're downsizing. I know a big part of the downsizing conundrum for folks is this is a house that they've lived in for 20, 30 years sometimes. This is a house they've been building equity in for a long time and letting it go. We had Michael Standard from Fairway Mortgage on last week.
He speaking about the reverse mortgage.
Speaking about the reverse
mortgage. Oh, I wish I could have made it.
Yeah, no.
Coaching the kid.
no, coaching my kid.
Yeah, your kid.
Yeah.
In fact, you came into relief. Appreciate
right.
that.
No worries. But so... We talked a little bit about the option of utilizing the reverse mortgage for that option, but a lot of times folks may not, they may have a bad experience with that. It's not the right situation for them, or they have a significant amount of equity, and why not just use it as a traditional sale mortgage situation? That's a huge thing for people to realize a lot of their equity in their home, and we talk about it a lot. If you are married and you have a personal residence that you've lived in for at least 2 out of the last 5 years, you have $500,000 worth of gain in your home that gets to be excluded from taxes. What that means is if you bought your home for $200,000 and now it's worth $700,000, you talk to Joe, he's going to help you sell it, we're going to price it at $700,000, we're confident we're selling it in the next couple months. You have zero taxable gain if you are married when you sell that house for $700,000.
If you've been in that primary residence for 2 years or 2 out of 5 years, I believe, right?
Yep. They haven't changed that,
correct?
Nope.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a huge opportunity.
$500,000 to write off.
That's right, well, $500,000 to take and keep in your pocket. We don't have to give some to Uncle Sam. Now, if you do go over that limit, that doesn't mean you shouldn't sell. Capital gains rates weren't affected in terms of the rates, but they were affected in terms of the brackets with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And so if you have some capital gain, as long as your income is under, if you're married, is under about $79,000, including that gain, you're only going to pay 15% on that gain. That's a pretty low cap gain rate as opposed to an income rate that could be in the 20s or 30s. So it could be an opportunity for you to get a second opinion on your home and say, hey, what's it worth? I'm thinking about moving. I'm thinking about downsizing. Give Joe a call. And Joe, what's your phone number so people can give you a call?
Okay, my phone number is 503-704-4898. And my email is jkennedy, just like the president, @windermere.com. And more information about me at www.brokerjoepdx.com. That's my website. And if you'd like a valuation of what your home could sell for, I would love to give you a complimentary CMA, comparative market analysis of what your home could sell for in today's market.
And like we say with our investment portfolios, like we say, come in and see us and have us take a second look at what you're doing. There's no obligation. Joe's not going to hard tell you, hey, you got to come work with me. We look at partnering with experts to bring them on here, to bring them on the show for you guys to be able to learn more about different options that are out there. We brought Michael Standard on. We have a state attorney, we have a CPA. We try to get Sherry McCants on here as often as we can in order to talk about investing in your health. And we want to make sure that we've giving as much information to y'all as possible, because we truly do believe that information is power and what you don't know can hurt you. So if you have been thinking about, do I want to make a change? Do I want to downsize? Do I want to upgrade? Are you in that category where you're thinking, hey, I'm in that lower tier house, but I'm ready to make that upgrade to the slightly higher tier? Give Joe a call. Drop him an email. He'd love to give you a consultation, like you said, a comparative market analysis, and see if it might be a fit for what you're looking at doing. So we're going to take one quick break again here, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the housing market, about the investment market. But give us a call if you have any questions, if you'd like us to talk about something specific, or visit investingsimplifiedradio.com and type your question in there if you don't want to come on the air on the phone. Thanks for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. If you've been listening all show, thanks for sticking with us as we slog through today's show without Chuck, without Kevin. But it's Joe Kennedy with Windermere Realty Trust Hello. Joining me today. And I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP. Thanks for listening. I wanted to spend some time, Joe, kind of talking about, we've talked about on the show a lot about the value of having a professional advisor, about the value of having a professional CPA, about having an estate attorney plan, you know, help you plan for the future and what that value brings. And I wanted to talk first about, as an advisor, we talk to folks who ask, you know, what's the value that you bring? Why should I work with you? Because it does come, you know, working with an advisor, whether it's working with Chuck and I, whether it's working with your advisor, you know, down the street, it generally comes at a cost. There's no free lunch out there, right? So you want to make sure that they're looking out for your best interests and that it does come as a cost. So what's that worth? And a lot of people will say, well, I could invest in the S&P 500 fund at Vanguard and just let it ride, and it's going to do, if, you know, I just told you the S&P's up 15.96, so in Vanguard's S&P 500 fund is probably up 15.91 or maybe 15.7 if it's a, you know, if it's one of the Admiral shares. So why work with an advisor? And actually, Vanguard has a white paper out there. If you're interested in reading it, just Google Vanguard Advisor Alpha. So that's Advisor Alpha. And what alpha is in measurement when we're talking about investments, alpha is the excess return that having an advisor gets you over the overall market. So that's a measure of how much extra return you get from having a money manager, from having a portfolio manager, from having an advisor specifically. And Vanguard did research. They looked at what having an advisor gets you, and it's actually 300 basis points. And what a basis point is 1/100th of a percent. So 300 basis points is 3%. And what that means is your excess return on average. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm guaranteeing 3%. Don't go out and tell anybody that. Kevin always tries to get Chuck and I to guarantee returns. But having an advisor on average gets you 3% extra return from what you were doing before if you were just investing in Vanguard. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, but the biggest reason is that you have a champion. You have someone on your side working for you to help make sure you can reach your retirement goals. And if it gets me 3% excess return, I think that's well worth having a cost in there if we're getting 3% excess return. And I know in my personal experience with real estate, Joe, that's huge. There are options out there, and
there's a lot of options out there.
Get any bad names out there for any sort of this? We mentioned in the break, we were talking about the industrial revolution for service models for service industries. We feel a little bit like Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox as we have this. Or no, it was it Paul Bunyan? Or yeah,
that, no, you got it.
That, you know, that
the Blue Ox,
Babe the Blue Ox, right? And it that, you know, when the industrial revolution happens, then they're automating everything. So as advisors, we're dealing with this as estate planners, they're dealing with it, and CPAs. But in your world too, it's a race to the bottom. You're dealing with these automated.
Yeah, the business, just like taxes, TurboTax, or this or that, and you know, things are getting automated, and taking out really the personableness that a realtor can provide, or Bo Caldwell can provide. And that's really what my business, you know, every realtor or every person on average knows about 10 realtors.
Yeah.
So you really have to separate yourself from the pack. And, you know, how I separate is building a relationship with people, being able to communicate. That's the number. Communication is the number one issue you hear with realtors. Like, put my house on the market, or I'm working with this realtor and I haven't heard from them. They didn't get back to me. Or actually, what's the preferred way to communicate with you? For instance, I talked about baby boomers versus millennials. Mm-hmm. Millennials, they a lot of times do want a text. They might want a text that when they click on the listing, the listing shows up on their smartphone on the text versus, you know, some people like, and I ask people, would you prefer email? Would you prefer phone calls, texts? So communication is huge, and that's how you build the relationship and the trust.
Sure. And, you know, the trust is a big word that sticks out to me with, you know, with a real estate agent, having an agent who's working with you on your home. I recently spoke to a client about, she has, gets getting ready to list her home and move, and she has a has an agent who was shopping her home at what she, under what she thought it was worth to investors out there rather than opening it up to the market. And that kind of raised a little bit of a red flag for me, because to me, I think that if you're hiring an agent, because that's what folks are doing, they're hiring you. If you're hiring a financial planner, if you're hiring an estate attorney, they should be your champion trying to get you the best deal or get you the best
90% return. Of the time and up, you're going to want to test your home on the market. What's the market value for my home? And really the best way to do that is to put it with a realtor on the RMLS.
And the RMLS you might want to mention
the RMLS is just basically the real estate for realtors, licensed realtors. And that's where almost all of the listings are going and fed to Zillow, Redfin, Trulia, and all those third-party websites. They're pulling all that information. Now, they can also pull, FSBO's for sale by owner information, too, which represent less than 1%, I believe, of the market right now.
Sure. Well, in your experience, and just when I've been, you mentioned people know about 10 realtors. I think I know at least 10 realtors.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But, you know, how many financial planners do you know? Just where there's, we're all over the place, right? We're like Starbucks.
Yeah, you have to, in this business, you do have to be to saying, hey, how am I different from the pack? And one thing I say is, like, if you're going to work with me, it's going to be working with me directly. And you mentioned, the automation and division of labor models you're seeing out there. If you're working with this company, maybe someone else is the person that you thought you hired is not maybe the person showing up to the property to show you the property. Or imagine this, you're selling your home and the realtor you thought was going to be there at the open houses or you thought was going to be bringing people through is actually a different person. So
right. So who's in your house? That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, who's in my house?
Who's in my house?
Yeah, who's showing my house? So I think just working directly with people one-on-one is something they appreciate when working with Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you'd like to get a hold of Joe, your phone number is?
It's 503-704-4898.
Perfect. And give him a call, give Joe a call, drop him a line, drop him an email if you'd like to chat about your options out there. I think the big thing for me, just in working, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because I do believe that. That Chuck and I had value for our clients when we're talking about a planning perspective or a portfolio management perspective. But in any sort of position where I have someone helping me handle something as big as my house, as my retirement, as my estate planning, I like to sit, my uncle uses the phrase belly to belly, which is sort of weird to me, but you know, I prefer face to face, but he likes the belly to belly reference. But the idea is I want to be able to talk to somebody. I want to know who somebody is personally. That's a personal preference, but I want to make sure that I'm meeting with somebody face to face and I know that I can get a sense of you, get to know who you are as a person, and I prefer personally, I think it's great to be able to know about my agents or my estate planner's family, just their life situation, because I think it helps me connect a little bit more.
Yeah, and it builds the trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the trusted advisor. They're going to be in my best interest.
Right. Well, and that's a big thing for me when I, when the client mentioned that, hey, her realtor had already shopped it around for below what she thought it was worth, that worries me. But at the same time, the caveat to that is, I know that I've been guilty of this when selling my home, and I know a lot of people are. They'll call you up and say, hey, well, Zillow says my estimate is this. And you say, well, in my experience, doing all the research, it actually might only be worth, you know, this, and it might be a little bit less or a little bit more. I mean, ideally it'd be worth more, right? But a lot of times it is less. So that's a conversation you probably have to have with clients.
All the time. And I love Zillow, and I use the Zestimate as a data point. I mean, if you're going to be saying this house is worth this much, why wouldn't you use that? But, you know, it also at the same time has such limits. They can't get into the house and look at, you know, is it updated or not, and it's by the highway. How does that factor in?
Right.
What's Zillow saying? If a house is by the highway, is that an automatic $50,000 reduction? What if it's a higher end house or a lower end house? How much reduction? So
that makes sense, and I think that's the biggest key you mentioned is if we can connect with someone and build that trust, then they're going to trust what you're saying and what you're doing is in their best interest. And making sure that you're not doing it for, you know, a lot of people say, well, why would I pay a listing fee if I can get it, you know, through certain companies that will say they do the lowest listing fees out there, or we don't pay broker's fees. And I think the thing I come back to is the phraseology with no load funds, no load is no help, right?
Yeah.
So I would argue that no listing fee is no help as well, to a certain extent.
Well, yeah, and a lot of some of these companies will mention 1% listing fee. You'll see it on billboards around, not naming names, but 1% listing fee, and then in the very, very small print, we'll say also subject to buyer agent commission, which typically is 2.5%. So the listing fee is a little
misleading
in that, well, it's 1% you're going to be paying to the person listing, but also the agent listing, but also 2.5% to the buyer's agent. So you're up to 3.5%. And I've heard a lot of times it's really ranges from 3.5 to 4. So,
wow. Well, it's
misleading.
Well, that's definitely, and if you're going to be, you know, that to me, that takes that sort of option just off the table. I mean, you're still saving some money.
Well, it's misleading, but at the same time, that is a model, and it is a model that sells homes, and there's other models out there. So if that's the model you want, that's fine. But you're not going to get the personable, relationship driven model,
right? And you're not going to get the follow ups and the hey, you know. I feel like just in that situation, you're not necessarily going to be able to call you up and say, hey, Joe, I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath with this and this in these areas. Go find it for me.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that those 1% listing companies will do that. Now they'll do it on your smartphone. Zillow will.
Do alerts and things like that.
But it's not the same sort of, they're not finding anything that's not on the market yet. They're not networked around.
Well, you hear, I mean, one great thing about Windermere, who I work with, we're Windermere Realty Trust. So that's 15 offices. And within those 15 offices, we have over 600 agents, I believe. So there is conversation between those 600, agents. Like, what do you got coming up? What do you have? What do you need? That's also an advantage.
Absolutely. That makes complete sense to me. I think there's no reason not to at least give it a shot. And, you know, it's worth mentioning, you did say, you know, that is a model, that low-cost model is a model for some people. And if that works for their situation, that's worth repeating. And we should have repeated it more last week when we had Michael on with the reverse mortgage options. By the way, just to reiterate, with Michael Standard over there at Fairway Mortgage, he does traditional mortgages too. He's an expert in the reverse mortgage, HECM, the home equity conversion mortgage. And so that's why we had him on. But any sort of products, any sort of options, any strategies that we are talking about on here is not a specific recommendation for everyone. It's not, I don't want you to think that I'm saying one size fits all. You have to do this or you have to do that. Our job is to provide the information for you all out there. For the folks listening, we want to provide the most robust information out there that is hopefully unbiased. We try to be as unbiased as possible, and it might be a fit for what you're looking for. It might not be, but if you don't know it's there, then you certainly won't know.
Sometimes you have to get a fast food burger.
Right.
Sometimes you got to do that. And then, there are repercussions. And then at other times, you want to sit down and enjoy that meal.
Enjoy that steak. Well, so we're going to break right there with the thoughts of steak, you know, out there. And I like to consider us, I think we're the filet mignon in the industry. If you'd like to give us a call.
Quarterhouse.
503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Thanks for listening to Investing Simplified.
Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. I wanted to mention, if you're just tuning in right now, we do replay the radio show on tomorrow at 1 p.m. on KXL. We also replay the radio show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck and I also do a podcast just about weekly with John Canzano of The Oregonian, has set up thatcast.com. That's thatcast.com. And Chuck and I try to spend some time on that podcast, delving a little bit deeper into topics that we couldn't cover on the radio show. But if there's something specific you'd like us to cover, whether it's on the radio show, whether it's on the podcast, drop me an email at ask@pfgwm.com. Visit our website at pfgwm.com and send us some topics that you want to cover. A lot of times there will be tons of other people, hundreds of other people that may have that same question that may be afraid to ask it just like you are. And if you don't feel comfortable giving us a call here at 503-417-9595, no problem. No problem, but send us an email, send us a text through the investingsimplifiedradio.com. Ask us that question that's been burning, that's been keeping you up at night. We want to make sure that we're answering it for you. I wanted to spend a little bit of time today talking about a little bit more about that diversified portfolio aspect and the idea of comparing apples to apples. If you're competing and trying to get the S&P 500 returns, that's fine, and that'll work well for you if you can hold on. Because if you invested at the peak of the market in October of 2007, if you were to get in right before it crashed, right? If you were to pop in right before it crashed, you'd have had a 90% return since then if you'd held on till now. That's a pretty darn good return. That's almost doubling your money, right? It's been about, it's been a little over 10 years, so maybe you're not getting as great of a return as you might have thought. But that means that you rode all the way down. You invested at the exact wrong time and held on till now, you'd have returned 90% on
your
money.
That's amazing.
Right?
That's amazing.
That's a pretty good statistic, but would you have held on all the way down?
I don't know if I could have. And man, that beats out my 40% on the last 10 years.
Right.
Darn it, with the housing market.
Right. Well, that's the key, but the housing market's been a lot more stable since
that's
then.
That's true.
Other than it's been a slower grow return. And so that's the key, is comparing apples to apples. If you're looking for, I just go back to that roller coaster analogy. If you're looking for the Matterhorn, your highs are going to be higher, but your lows are going to be lower. And if you're looking for the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or something in between, then you got to be realistic. When we've had this straight up market this year, we've had this 10-year bull run. And if we want to talk about, okay, is the bull run technically, is it a new bull market because we had dipped into bear territory in December? I don't know. You know, there are statisticians who will argue either side of it. I still think that the economy is plugging along really well. The market is doing quite well. Unemployment levels are amazing. We don't have to get into the debt that keeps on growing. I know that's a big thing for Chuck, and it's a big worry for me. But at the same time, I have to focus on what I can control, and what I can control is
inflation's been stable too.
Inflation's been really low. Yeah, that's true. But what I can control is how I react to the market and to the volatility, and how I'm preparing for that volatility, because people really have gotten lulled into sleep, Joe, over the last 10, 12 years, because it's been basically a pretty easygoing, straight up market since
you
the bottom.
You can't lose almost.
Right, exactly. Basically, you can throw a dart. You can throw a dart at a dartboard that has stocks in there, and you've done quite well for the most part. But as we move into a market cycle, as we get long in the game, and I've mentioned this before, if you think about the market and you think about the cycle as a baseball game, and we're going to be going to our son's baseball game, later today. Right now, we're not in the ninth inning. We're not in the end of the game, but we're getting towards that seventh, eighth inning. We're getting towards where we need the setup man. We're not needing the closer yet, but so
get
the
up
idea
and
is,
stretch a bit.
Right? Exactly.
Take a breather.
The seventh inning stretch. So we need to make sure that we're prepared for what's coming next. And a lot of times for us, the way that Chuck and I manage our practice is to utilize those money managers because we want to make sure that those dips are not going to ruin you. If you're approaching retirement or you're in retirement, you don't have 15, 20 years to come back. You don't have 12 years to make back to your 90% return if the market has another 2008. So if you're prepared, if you're ready and we have a strategy that will help you last through retirement, then that's the best way to go about it. Then you're going to be prepared and you're confident going into those conversations. When we have clients that are confident, they understand the strategy, they know that we've got their backs, then they're going to do a lot better in those down markets. So we actually have a caller, Joe. So this would be your first experience with a call coming in. So
oh,
we got Daniel on the
great
line, who's got an investing question. Daniel, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, we have the S&P 500 index fund, which I am fully invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that a financial advisor could get you a few percentage points more on that investment.
Mm-hmm.
But what my concern is, isn't that the safety belt to be fully invested in everything instead of going with someone that's going to recommend individual stocks that may or may not, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Well, so that's a good question. And, when the white paper, when we're talking about the advisor alpha, a big part of that doesn't necessarily come, and I would say very little of it comes from the specific identification of stocks. I think you're totally right. Being diversified, having a diversified fund like the S&P 500 is great, but the S&P 500 isn't truly diversified. It's 500 largest U.S. companies. But
understood. Yeah.
But you are totally right. The big thing that comes from having an advisor and the alpha, and if you read the white paper, the big part of it is that level setting, is that basically the financial success coach. So if you have that S&P 500 fund and you're holding on to it, when the market goes down 20%, having someone who's helping you to stay invested, like you said, to stay invested in your, if that's your strategy, if this is what we've planned out, we want to stay invested through the downs and the ups, and having that coach who can help reset your levels to say, hey, this is what we expected, this is what we planned for. If your specific situation is to plan for possibilities of going down 20-25%, then you got to be ready and willing to do it. And so it sounds like you're pretty up on the investment side. So if you're ready and if you're able to continue to invest in that, in that S&P 500 fund, and if we're down 20, if you're ready and willing to buy more at that point, right, because that's what you want to do,
yes,
is buy the dips, then
exactly,
you might not be the ideal, the ideal client for having a coach like that. But other folks are not buying at that point. They're trying to decide when they're getting out, right? A lot of times that's the key, is to have an advisor building a strategy for you that not necessarily, we're not trying to shoot the lights out with performance over time. We're trying to make sure that we can get from point A to point B and do that the most efficient way possible, if that makes sense.
Oh, boy. It's hard to tell someone to hang in there when they're what it is for
hang
me
in now there.
the thing to do is just don't look at it for 6 months or
that's
something.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
And another super quick question.
Sure.
I know it's the end of the show. Do you have some sort of website or something for someone who's completely ignorant about investing in real estate that might want to look up and read some books on this thing and, begin to understand more about the jargon and everything that happens with real estate?
I can't think of a specific website right off the bat. If you Google, even this morning I was looking up some Portland facts and statistics really quickly. If you just Google, and obviously make sure it's a site that's reputable.
Right. Well, and what I'll do, Daniel, is I'll get with Joe after the show too, and we'll put it on our website and on our newsletter to send out, so that way we'll get some resources for you about real estate investing up there. We'll do some research for you, okay?
Great. Very much appreciate you taking my call.
No worries. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for giving us a call. And you hear the background music, that means we're getting close to the end of the show. So, Joe, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you real quick?
Definitely phone number, email, 503-704-4898 and jkennedy@windermere.com.
Perfect. And we are pfgwm.com, 503-253-3000 to get a hold of Chuck or I, 503-253-3000. Thanks so much for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.